Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in Western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. The police search of suspected Gilgo Beach killer Rex A. Cureman's Massapequa Park home has been fruitful for investigators. Suffolk County Police Commissioner Rodney K. Harrison said yesterday from Massapequa Park as authorities continued searching the suspect's backyard. Harrison declined to detail any of the potential evidence authorities have seized from the home, other than a cache of firearms from inside a vault with a big iron door. The police commissioner said he could not say whether any of the killings occurred inside the home. Suffolk County District Attorney Ray Tierney has said previously that investigators are looking for trace evidence, such as blood and DNA. Nicole Fuller and John Asbury report on Newsday.com that Harrison spoke as investigators on Monday were seen using ground-penetrating radar after they dug up the backyard of the home on Sunday. "We're just doing a total investigation around the house to see if there's anything back there that we need to take a closer look at," Harrison said. "It will help us be able to identify anything in that backyard that we need to take into our possession." Asked Monday if he thought Hureman was responsible for other killings, Harrison said, "It's hard to say. This person has been at large for a long period of time. But I will say this, we're going to keep the task force together, keep it intact, and we'll see if there are any other victims on Ocean Parkway or anywhere else throughout Long Island." Hureman is being held at the Suffolk County Jail in Riverhead. The MTA is moving ahead at full speed with congestion pricing, beginning to install new tolling equipment in Manhattan, even as the plan faces growing opposition from elected leaders. Alfonso A. Castillo reports on Newsday.com that workers were spotted over the weekend installing the congestion pricing hardware, which consists of cameras and sensors mounted on poles on 61st Street on Manhattan's west side. Under the plan, vehicles will be charged up to $34.50 for driving below 60th Street in Manhattan and up to $23 with Easy Pass. MTA Chairman and CEO Jen Oliber last week confirmed that the authority immediately kicked into gear after receiving final approval last month from federal regulators and directed contractors to begin installing the tolling equipment. The system is expected to be in place by May. "We've started that installation and we've also started to build out the software and what we call the back office system for capturing toll information and generating bills and so on," Lieber said at a Wednesday meeting of the MTA board. East End celebrity watchers are still buzzing about the really big matrimonial event in Southampton Village this weekend. 'Twas Saturday afternoon at the Basilica Parish of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary, with Pastor Michael A. Vetrano their celebrant, that 7-foot, 280-pound NBA superstar Joel Embiid married Brazilian supermodel Ana de Paula, who is neither short in stature nor beauty. At 8 a.m. Mass on Sunday, Father Mike told his congregation he really looks up to those people, and why not? After their wedding ceremony, the new bride and groom motored off to nearby Crider Beach, leaving the 115-year-old basilica gloriously adorned by an abundance of fresh white roses, baby roses, orchids, and mums. The New York State Public Service Commission has affirmed a long-term lease for the Gas Ball parking lot in Sag Harbor Village for Adam Potter's 11 Bridge Street, LLC. Sag Harbor Village had sought to block the deal, arguing that it was not in the public interest. Stephen J. Coates reports on 27East.com that the PSC made its ruling last Thursday, with the written decision posted to the commission's website on Friday. "That's unfortunate for the village," said Sag Harbor Mayor Tom Gardella when informed of the ruling. Gardella, citing the parking crunch in the village, said he held out hope that an arrangement could be made with Potter for the lot to remain open to the public. "The last time I spoke to Adam," he said, "regardless of what the decision was, that he wanted to work out a solution with the village," Gardella said. Reached Friday morning, Potter said he had yet to be informed of the ruling, but pledged his cooperation, telling 27East.com, "My overall intention is I want to work with the village to come up with the right solution for everybody." Potter's 99-year-old lease could go into effect as early as September 15th, the commission's ruling stated. The parking lot has been a key piece in the puzzle as Potter, through a number of limited liability corporations, has gained control of most of the parcels bounded by Bridge and Rose Streets in Sag Harbor and sought to redevelop them. New York State Assemblyman Fred W. Thiel Jr. of Sag Harbor, who supported the village's bid, said the PSC ruling puts a special interest and a private interest before the public interest, and it ignored all the cooperation and help the village gave National Grid when that site got cleaned up. Victor Ocasio reports on Newsday.com that businesses reliant on shipping products for customers say they hope that the Atlanta-based package delivery giant UPS and the Teamsters Union reach a deal soon. The union represents 340,000 UPS workers, more than half the company's workforce, in the largest private sector contract in North America. The union and UPS have agreed to resume talks today, with the Teamsters previously authorizing a national strike if a new contract is not negotiated before the current one expires July 31st. Negotiations had been at a standstill for nearly 2 weeks after both parties walked away from the table UPS last struck in 1997. Both sides had reached tentative agreements on several issues before negotiations broke down, including installing air conditioning in more trucks and getting rid of a two-tier wage system for drivers who work weekends and earn less money. A major sticking point has been wage increases for part-time workers who make a minimum of $16.20 an hour, according to UPS. The town of Riverhead has settled two state Supreme Court actions brought against investors from Southampton for maintaining illegal, overcrowded residential rental properties and have been in and out of justice court for multiple town code violations, including renting without permits. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that settlement of a third case against the same investors is close to being finalized, according to Riverhead Town Attorney Eric Howard. Agreements in each of the three actions require the defendants to pay civil penalties of $20,000 for a total of $60,000 and refrain from renting any of the properties again without first obtaining the required rental permits. The Riverhead Town Board has hired more code enforcement officers recently. The police department is also writing more code violations. Years after serving time for selling weed, newly licensed cannabis vendors are searching for property on Long Island where they may openly return to the trade. Two Long Islanders in their 40s who pivoted into legit careers once out of prison were among 24 businesses granted conditional retail licenses on Long Island by the New York State Cannabis Control Board last week. Serena Trangle reports on Newsday.com that regulators are giving this credential to so-called legacy operators before accepting retail applications from a broader range of businesses. To qualify, New Yorkers must have or be related to someone who has a cannabis-related conviction and have owned a business that turned a profit for at least 2 years. Black and Latino New Yorkers were arrested at higher rates under the old marijuana laws than white residents. As quoted in Newsday, "It definitely made my life difficult. You couldn't vote. You couldn't get a loan. You couldn't get some jobs," said Gregory Van Roten of Baldwin Harbor, who was co-owner of Sergio's Pizzeria in Riverhead, Brooklyn, and upstate Malta. "Here we are now, which is a great opportunity to give back to people like me." Van Roten, who was released from prison in 2018, is excited about offering tested products from a modern dispensary. Months after the state began issuing the 39 previously authorized Long Island licenses, just one dispensary has opened in Nassau or Suffolk. Retailers believe there aren't enough eligible shop locations for each licensee. Many towns opted not to host dispensaries, and those that did have passed relatively strict laws. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.